Hi, I'm Spencer.
And I'm Blake. And you're about to get jumped. Welcome to episode 78 of Blake and Spencer Get Jumped, a weekly podcast where we watch the anime so you don't have to.
But you should still totally watch the anime.
This week on Get Jumped, we're watching Soul Eater episodes 9 through 11, where swords can possess people, shadows do battle inside your soul, and legends are real but also really annoying.
You know, when you thought to yourself, you know who I would really like to meet? Abraham Lincoln. Because I really wanted to know how he defeated all of those zombies and all those vampires.
Vampires.
Hold on, he defeated zombies too and vampires. And
at when?
How did he not know that somebody might be sneaking up behind him? Because in every single movie I've seen of that type, there is ominous music that starts to play as soon as that is starting to happen. And obviously John Wilkes Booth was either a zombie or a vampire, or as I almost said begin with, a zampire.
Attack of the Zampire.
Yeah. Anyways, we'll delve more into this later. Let's jump in.
I mean, I think we've already given our listeners value, so we should just pack it in for the day. We're pretty much done now.
Look, I'm just going to say that, like, we need to write a fan fiction about vampires. Abraham Lincoln's Vampire Hunter.
That just makes me think of, like Tina Belcher's zombie friend fiction. Maybe yeah, we shouldn't anyways. Do that. That's a Patreon stretch goal.
Yeah, too many things about people getting their butts touched. Anyways, before we get started today, I wanted to do a quick shout out. We have gone from basically no Patreon supporters to 3 Patreon supporters.
He means literally no Patreon supporters.
Yeah, like relatively quickly. And it's pretty amazing. I'm sort of floored by a couple of people that have started to reach out and support us. I know we mentioned before that Ben is back on board with us, which is awesome. We talked about our other supporter, and we just got a new one that I saw today when I went online, named Sean. And we wanted to give a shout out to this awesome person who was talking about binging our episodes while doing their work. And I am for this. If you're listening to anime and also happen to be somebody that's like a truck driver or somebody who does like a, you know, another task where you can listen to things while you work, like, please feel free to listen to us. Apparently we're hopefully bingeable.
I think we are. I've re-listened to some of our older episodes and I think they're pretty fun. You know, yeah. I guess I'm biased, but also I'm correct.
Yeah. Also, I've been chatting with a couple of different people this week about doing some artwork, and I wanted to open it up inside of our conversation before we begin the show today. If you have like fan artwork, or if you're somebody that does like anime artwork, we want to like see the work, and also we want to chat with you about it. I think one of the things that we've mentioned on the show a bunch of times is that we started a production company and did our production company that focused on taking care of the people that we worked with. So if you're somebody that, like, you know, reaches out to us and wants to maybe help out with some artwork stuff, like, we might want to team up with you. So feel free to reach out to us. We want to meet you. We want to chat with you. Even if it's, you know, you don't have to do anything to do it. You can just reach out and talk to us about it. We want to meet you and we want to talk about it.
Yeah.
So if you're interested in that and you're listening to the show, we want to hear from you.
Our whole thing with Forever Summer has always been that, like, we want to help other people be lifted up. So if you do something cool, then we want to lift you up. Like, if we like what you're doing, you know, we're not going to like everything, not everybody likes everything, but if we like what you're doing, we could take this, like, platform that we have that some people listen to. I mean, we don't have any illusions about being, like, the hot podcast on the block, but we have a decent listenership, and if you want to share with that community and get it out there to the anime fans who listen to our podcast, then we would love to promote your stuff. And we will take it into consideration if you want to send it in to us, and might also like to collaborate with you.
I mean, even if we don't end up collaborating on stuff, I will promote the shit out of your work. I don't know if you've ever seen me promote anything, but like, if you check out our coverage of any con that we've been able to go to so far together, it's been one, and one where I was leading a panel. But during that, we went around and we took a couple of pictures with different cosplayers. They were the people that wanted to be promoted and were fine with taking pictures. By the way, I mentioned this before, but I will keep on mentioning it just in case you go to cons. Always ask for permission before you take photos with people.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that.
Especially if you're going to post it. Yeah, it's just a really important thing. But we always ask if they have something that they want to promote, because if you're going to take the time and you're going to let us take a photo with you, we would like to promote you if you want to be promoted. So if you, with that being said, if you're down and nice enough to send us, you know, some of your artwork or something like that, we will promote it no matter what. But we might collaborate with you as well while we're looking around to collaborate with an artist.
Yeah.
Also, I wanted to mention before we get started today as well, that we are going to be recording another collaboration episode that is coming up. This one is going to be with the Retro Anime Podcast. I am so pumped about finally getting to do this. They are on the other side of the world.
Yeah, across the pond. They're out in the Galar region.
Across the pond, as it were. Yeah, and so we're going to be teaming up with them this weekend to watch Towards the Terra, which is a movie that is surprisingly good for how old it is.
Old things can be good, like Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, if you want to jump on that before we release the episode, again, you should also check out their podcast, because it's great. But the Retro Anime Podcast is who we're going
to
be teaming up.
Yeah, Spencer was like non-related to this, talking to me about how much he likes listening to that show a couple of days ago. So this is like a sincere endorsement, not just because we're doing a collaboration episode with them.
Yeah, and I think that you know, we like to team up with people that we've met and that are awesome people. They've worked with us. Not worked with us, but they promoted our stuff before, which is really cool without us even asking for it. And that's
awesome. Dope.
I'm super excited to finally be able to do this podcast. We've been talking about it for so long, but they are like, you know, across the planet. So
it's hard, like, to schedule it. More difficult. Especially because like you and I are in different time zones and we have different, like, I don't have that many constraints on my time, but you do. And we're in different time zones and we're both in relationships that we're maintaining. And, you know, it's like, you know, life can be hard to schedule sometimes, especially when there's a major time difference. So it's pretty exciting that it's finally all coming together.
Yeah. Before we get started, Blake wanted to talk about a couple of things. Again, he's going to talk about Pokemon.
I've already decided that I'm just going to leave that on there because it's always worth mentioning Pokemon Sword and Shield. I'm really excited. No new news except that there was like a brief mention on Pokemon, the official North American Pokemon Twitter's account, about how they were confirming that the big stadiums that you see in the trailer, you see one with a big grass symbol outside of it, that those are the gyms, but that the leaders are now called masters. There's no word on whether or not that's just a title change or if it's a different functionality or they're tweaking the gym system a little bit. And apparently the tweet was quickly deleted. So make of that what you will. Who knows what's coming up. Also, I didn't put this on there, but I saw Captain Marvel a little early. I got to see it a couple of days ago.
Don't talk about it because I haven't seen it yet.
As we record this, it has come out today. You might have been able to go last night because we're recording on a Friday, and a lot of times you can go on Thursday. I got to see it on Wednesday because sometimes the Air Force gets movies early, and so we were lucky enough to get to go see that on base. And the problem was that the sound was a little low, so during a lot of the talking scenes, we had to like really be quiet and like lean forward to try and catch it. So I'm definitely going to go see it again so I can catch the dialogue that I missed. But I got most of the idea and I enjoyed it. It's a fun movie, so check that out. I mean, you don't need any encouragement. It's from the Marvel Cinematic Universe. They basically own movies now, so you're already going. But, you know, it's fun. It's a good movie. I love Brie Larson, and she's just great in general, and she is the star of the movie, so that's worth it seeing it, even if it weren't a Marvel movie. But the big news that's related to our podcast, partly because we're an anime podcast, but partly because we've covered this show before.
This is going to be super exciting because we will be covering this one in real time. I have chatted with you about this, but we will definitely be covering this one as soon as it is coming out.
Yeah, what the news is first is that One Punch Man season 2 is coming out. It is coming out in a month. It's a month from tomorrow as we record this, or yesterday as of the earliest that you can listen to this. It is coming out on April 9th, 2019. And it's really fucking exciting. I'm assuming it's going to be another 10 to 12 episodes or so, like the first season. I'm really pumped up about this. And yeah, we, so far, with the kind of halfway exception of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, have not covered any series that is ongoing. And you could argue that Naruto is ongoing in the form of Boruto. So we're kind of there. We've got the manga series for Hunter x Hunter is ongoing. But for the most part, we're covering series that have ended. One Punch Man, you know, is an ongoing manga series, and we knew that there was going to be a second season, but there wasn't one. And there wasn't, by the time we finished it, I don't think there was any news on when it was coming. So we're going to be done with something eventually, and we're going to definitely be covering One Punch Man. That's going to be coming up, and I'm hoping that we'll start coverage on that before the show has stopped airing, so that you'll actually be able to like catch up with us on the show before the entire series is out. But we'll figure that out as we get there.
I'm gonna throw it out there too. If like we mentioned at the very beginning that Patreon support is a real thing. We are getting, you know, closer as we get more supporters to doing like extra, like super long episodes. That's part of our goal. And part of that kind of goal is like, we want to cover like some anime movies, but I mean, if we can cover more stuff and release more episodes, we want to do that. But we just need support in order to do it. So, I mean, like if you're down for listening to this, you want us to cover more live action stuff. Not live action, but happening in real time
anime stuff or anime adjacent.
Yeah, just let us know what you're interested in, and like feel free to support. We want to release more.
Also, whether or not you're a Patreon subscriber, just always feel free to let us know what you think of the show. Obviously, we would rather hear positive feedback or constructive criticism than like if you're just gonna like shit all over us. But you know, if you've got thoughts, let us know. If there's something we can use from that, we'll take it. We're not probably going to drastically change the basic format of the show, but we are open to feedback and suggestions. If you like what we're doing, that also counts. But we would love to hear from you, because I know the show hasn't changed in its basic format since we started, but there have been little tweaks to like the way that I take notes or the way that we do the intros and stuff like that. And you know, if you have thoughts on any of our content, let us know, because we like to hear from you. And if there's something in there that like really feels like a note that we can use, then we will take that under advisement, and it might lead to us changing the show in a way that makes it better.
Yep. With that being said, we are going to go ahead and jump in with our coverage this week. We are back with Soul Eater. We had the kind of like the privilege of taking some, you know, a little bit of a longer time at the beginning of the episode to talk about stuff, mostly because we're only covering three episodes of Soul Eater this week. One of them being like a very, very tight-knit story that is going to be most of the episode. And then there's this other episode that is just in there for comedic value.
And it's good comedic value. As a spoiler alert, the next time we cover Soul Eater, we're only doing three also, because I looked at the episodes and I try to group the episodes and like plan it out so that we're doing something that kind of tells a coherent story. And I was like, okay, well, I think we could do like 4 or 5, maybe even 6 episodes, but I like Soul Eater so much that I kind of want to drag it out. Yeah. I don't want to like do anyway. Less than 3 if we don't have to, but.
So previously on Soul Eater.
So Soul Eater is set in this world where there are these people called Meisters and then people that can turn themselves into weapons. And the weapon people team up with a Meister, which is basically a weapon wielder, and they work as a team to fight off demons called Kishin. Demons become that way by eating the souls of humans. Weapons and Meisters can become more powerful by eating the souls of Kishin, and the series is called Soul Eater. So put it all together, and there it is. Our weapons and Meisters go to Hogwarts School for Scythes and Scythetry, and that's called the DWMA. It's like the Demon Weapon Masters Academy or something like that. Meisters, probably. And they are led... Dumbledore is here, Lord Death, who is basically the Grim Reaper. And there are 3 pairs, although one's technically a trio, that make up our main characters. One of those isn't super important. His name's Death the Kid. He is not super important in the context of these episodes because he doesn't show up that much in them. I guess he's kind of a main part of the first episode we're covering, but his weapons don't show up at all, as far as I can remember. And so we're going to skip over them. He has a pair of girls that turn into a pair of guns. Death the Kid is the son of the God of Death, and he is also debilitatingly adherent to things being clean and proper and in order. And he's kind of like a comically overblown kind of OCD kind of thing. And that will come up in his brief appearances in the episodes today. He has joined our first 2 sets of protagonists. The main one is a girl named Maka. She has partnered up with a weapon named Soul, and Soul can turn into a big scythe, like, you know, the big stick with the hook blade on it. God, I'm doing a great job of this, aren't I, Spencer? So they got into a fight last time we covered Soul Eater with a new enemy that had this like demonic black blood. They got injured pretty badly. Specifically, Soul got injured pretty badly and was taken to the infirmary at school. They have now discovered that some of the black blood has gotten into his system, and he is recovering from that, but the blood is kind of there now. And Maka's feeling a little responsible for what happened to him. That's going to be a bit of a subplot, and our main group of main characters this time around is the best character, Black Star, who's like Naruto, but not as annoying, and absolutely more proficient from the get-go. And his partner, Tsubaki, who is a fairly soft-spoken girl who can turn into a series of ninja-based weapons. Black Star, by contrast, is a super narcissist who fancies himself a number one star and is always loudly proclaiming that he's like super famous and awesome, and it's hilarious and endearing, and I love him. Black Star's the best.
He's a great character.
Yeah, mostly all you need to know for the circumstances leading into this are that those are the three groups of main characters, and that Maka and Soul are kind of recovering from what happened last time, which involves a persistent injury to Soul, and that gets us up to the present.
Great. So we're going to jump in with episode 9 of Soul Eater, Legend of the Holy Sword, Kid and Black Star's Great Adventure. So this episode is really, really important for one reason. And that is that Soul is going to be he has absorbed some of the black blood. We find that out from these asides that are talked about with Deathscythe, Maka's father. They're going to be talking about it a little bit more. We're going to, you know, see Medusa in the background talking about how she's got like a new experiment. But We're also going to see this really manifest for the first time when Sol is having a dream. He is having specifically a nightmare where he is seeing his blood. He doesn't understand where it's coming from. He's like, I don't know where I am. And then all of a sudden, he feels himself being like ripped apart. And then he rips through Maka's body and like comes forward. And it's in the same way that we saw with the previous episode, the way that the demon sword was coming out of... God, why can't I remember
Krona.
His name off the top of my head? Krona. So, Krona. So it really like harkens back to what just happened, and it sort of like foreshadows inside of his mind where he understands, you know, subconsciously that getting something inside of his system is going to make him into a monster.
Yeah, and that's going to definitely be played up through the episode. Like Spencer said, Medusa, who I didn't mention, she's the witch that was kind of controlling the sword that has injured Sol. She is also secretly masquerading as a nurse, or she is a nurse, but she's keeping her identity as an evil witch under wraps. And so she's the person at their school who's helping Sol recover, even though she is secretly responsible for it. So she's going to think to herself that maybe she could experiment, you know, maybe she's got another experiment, and kind of suggest that Sol might be coming under her thrall or might be turning into an evil weapon or a Kishin himself. We're also going to have basically that from Maka. Her story in this episode is functionally a subplot, well, literally a subplot, where she's basically worried about Sol because he got injured while they were doing battle together. And part of that has to do with Maka sort of locking up out of fear and Sol jumping in front of her to intercept an attack meant for her. She is going to at least somewhat rightly blame herself for this. But Sol is going to try and head this off at the pass by basically telling her, like, you're not at fault for this. Like, I got injured by making decisions that I made independent of you. And it's my fault that I'm hurt, and it's not your fault. And so don't beat yourself up about it. And he's really prescient in this moment because she's absolutely already beating herself up about it. And of course, it's not effective because she's going to keep ruminating over it. And this is going to lead to her subplot, which is basically her hanging out with her dad. And her dad is the blade of the Shinigami Lord Death, who is in charge of the school. He is presumably super powerful, although we haven't really seen that yet. And mostly what we know is that he has a sort of strained and semi-estranged relationship with Maka, largely because he is a womanizer who kind of fools around on and cheats on his wife, who's Maka's mother. They're divorced now. But that was a huge part of the reason why they split up, was because he was unfaithful and he's like always chasing skirts and stuff like that. And she's going to spend the first part of her subplot with him trying to figure out what the deal is. And she kind of tries to lead him into it by being like, you know, like, what do you think about me and mom? You know, how do you relate to her? And if that's the case, if you really care for us, like, why do you act like this? And he doesn't have a good answer for it. And there's a semi-comedic approach to him trying to think his way through how he can explain himself and be believed, which leads to him failing to explain himself and just looking like he's guiltily has nothing to say. Later, they're going to talk about the sword Ragnarok itself and the black blood that has now infested Sol, and he is going to tell a story of how Kishin came to be, which was essentially Meisters who were supposed to protect human souls started to eat them in order to gain sort of quick and easy power. But that power comes at the cost of corrupting you and turning you into this demon called a Kishin. And that's how they were born. And the black blood is kind of a symptom of that, or is related to that genesis, and has been shown in some of the powerful weapons that, like, you can be infected with this blood and then you turn into a Kishin weapon. And so he is kind of giving her and us by proxy a little bit of a history lesson on where these things came from and building tension around what is going on with Sol and what might happen to him. And that's pretty much her story.
That all being said, there is a secondary plot inside of this episode, which is about Excalibur. So one of the things that is happening on the other side of the Meister Academy is that Blackstar is being punished for being, I don't know, the worst.
The best, fuck you.
He does things that are completely asinine sometimes, and, like, he's being punished right now because he's not been really treating his partner very well, and so...
Well, he's also failing to get souls, which is their main thing as students at the academy, is they are learning to be Meisters, but they also are also actively taking on missions and stuff to go and retrieve things. And that is involved as part of their education, and he has failed to retrieve souls recently. And in fact, the series opens up in a really clever way by showing us that each of the main characters is sort of a proficient battler already. They are not starting from zero or learning everything from the ground up, but through a series of sort of misadventures, they are kind of placed back at the starting line from the perspective of like what the series is asking them to obtain, which is these Kishin souls, or Kishin eggs is what they call it, even though their skills are not that of a beginner necessarily. And it's a really clever way. It's like when you have like a game sequel and you have your hero wake up with like amnesia, or having, you know, like Kingdom Hearts 3 or Breath of the Wild, both have their heroes sort of stripped of all their abilities of the last game, but sort of justify them getting their abilities back while also having some from the get-go. And this is kind of the anime series version of that. It's pretty clever. But he's been failing to make any headway on that, and so he's being given remedial lessons.
Yeah, to the extent where, like, Death the Kid is having difficulty getting it because it's just, you know, it's a very difficult thing to do, and he's a little bit wrapped up in his own shit. Maka and Soul, because they couldn't defeat a witch, but instead a cat. And then they took a cat soul instead of a witch. Biggest thing about, like, Blackstar, though, is that, like, Blackstar was just, like, he had it put right in front of him, and he was just like, nah.
Yeah, he's basically, like, too proud to accept souls that he does not explicitly win, and so he couldn't take any of the ones that were there, and then he decided against taking the witch's soul for completely valid reasons, and now he's remedial.
He could fall to his knees and start shouting out my hubris, but he would never do that because he has too much hubris.
And not enough self-awareness. And he's a great character because it's like a lot of the reason he's in this boat is because he's made decisions based on his own sense of personal morality, which is admirable and makes him more complex than the sort of boastful loudmouth that he comes off to be originally.
Yeah. Anyways, so he is being punished, and what his punishment is to clean up the library. He immediately refuses to do this, and instead just, like, sits down and starts reading a comic book, which he's just like, I didn't know they had comic books in the library. Well, I'm just gonna read this.
He's the best character, so Death the Kid's gonna find him there. He's coming to find a book of his own, and there's, like, some comedic back and forth between them about like the contents of the books and stuff like that, but essentially they're going to learn about this legendary weapon because they happen across it in one of the books in the library, and that weapon is the Holy Sword Excalibur, which of course, as you guys are listening, probably already know, is the sword from Arthurian legend. It's the sword in the stone that can only be pulled out by the rightful heir to the throne and is sometimes imbued with magical properties, depending on what the particular legend version you're listening to is. So this is that. And Stein, you might remember Professor Frankenstein, is going to come by, and he is a super powerful character, as we've already seen. He is also noteworthy for being able to... When a Meister and a weapon work together, their souls have a resonance, and they can make their souls resonate together to get in sync and become more powerful. Stein's whole deal is that he can resonate with any weapon, and he is going to hear them talking about Excalibur, and he's like, I couldn't even handle that weapon.
Yeah. So, It's gonna turn into a little bit of a sword adventure chase episode. They are going to have Black Star and Death the Kid run off to go find this legendary sword Excalibur. Right after, there's a quick joke where Black Star cannot read very well, and he cannot pronounce Excalibur on the front of the page, which is pretty funny. And they're gonna get to this waterfall. This happens to be my favorite joke inside of this episode, which is, like, Death the Kid, like, pulls out a, he, like, summons his, like, his, skateboard that has, like, you know, it's got, like, rocket jets attached to it, so it, like, flies Death the Kid up, and Blackstar's just like, "You're not gonna get it before me, damn it, rich kids always get the good shit."
The skateboard will prove to be ineffective in some way, and Death the Kid is basically paralyzed at the entrance of the cave because the cave has like a couple of feet of water running through it, and so you will have to walk through the water in order to proceed through the cave. And Death the Kid cannot stand the idea of getting his pants wet, so he is just like clinging to the rocks and being like, Black Star, we gotta work together.
And he's like, the way that he solves this, it first Black Star is just like, "You're useless," and then it cuts to the next scene and he's riding on the back of Black Star, and Black Star's just like, "God, he's useless."
He's also carrying an umbrella and being like, "I'll take care of the water that might drip down from above, and you can handle the water from below. God, this is a really tough trial." And he, like, repeats, like, 3 or 4 times how difficult this challenge is. And it's just that, like, he can't get his feet wet. And Blackstar's just walking the whole time. It's so great.
So they're going to happen upon a fairy. They're like, "Hey,
I almost forgot this about fairy."
They're like, "Hey, where's this legendary blade Excalibur?" And the fairy makes this look, which is so good. It the first time I saw it, I was just like, "Oh, why is this fairy being so mean?" But she just has this look where it's like, you know when somebody starts to scowl and then they kind of look away from you, like they don't want to talk about what they just saw? It comes across like she's just being a little bit obnoxious. But then we will revisit this in a moment after they continue and then they find the sword. And then we get to my second favorite joke of it, which is Death the Kid's like, "I need to pull this out of the sword out of the stone. It's gotta be mine. It's so perfect. It's so symmetrical." And then it just cuts to Black Star, who's already pulled it out.
They proceed to put the sword back in the hole so that Death the Kid can pull it out. He does, and Black Star's like, "Well, I loosened it for you." It's just like ridiculous. They're bickering about who pulled the sword out and whether either of those times was legitimate, is cut off by the sword turning into its other form, which is, you've learned, something that happens with weapons in this universe is that they are also sentient beings, and when they are not looking like a weapon, they look usually like people. Excalibur looks a little different.
Yeah, so Excalibur is going to look like a very strangely drawn person, mostly void of color. He has, like, black lining and a little bit of shading on the whiteness that he has, but he is going to be almost exclusively completely white. Kind of think of, like a you know, a sketch drawing that's interacting, you know, like almost as if it was on top of the page, if you can imagine that.
He's also I think a lot of anime have like a cutesy companion that's really stylized. So you'll get like the little tiny panda from Fullmetal Alchemist, or you'll get like the dog, which is just like a little dude with a drill nose from Fairy Tail. It's like super common in these like action adventure anime to have like a sidekick kind of animal character that is often cutesy, like the pig from Seven Deadly Sins. But unlike the pig from Seven Deadly Sins, they are often drawn in a way that is really simplified to the fact that they look particularly cartoony, or like in the case of the dog from Fairy Tail, that they look nothing like an actual dog. Excalibur kind of reads like this to me as the sort of like cutesy, ridiculous sort of chibi character of the group.
Except for He is going to be the most obnoxious fucking narcissist on the planet.
Fuck, I love it and so much. It's hilarious.
It turns out the reason why nobody can become the Meister of this fucking sword is because he is so obnoxious that nobody could stand him to be around him for more than a couple of minutes. We find this out immediately because he keeps on asking fucking questions, and before they can answer the question, he just keeps on answering them.
Or calling them more an idiot questions. When they answer, even if they answer correctly.
I know!
It's so great.
What's your favorite color? And then they explain, or he was like, name a number between a 1 and 12. And then they named the numbers, and he was like, wrong. Why are you talking about numbers?
Yeah, he's just a dick. And at some point, they're like, he's like, this is great. I'm going to become your partners. And so I'm going to give you, I have 1,000 rules that must be followed for you to be my partner. And I'm also particularly excited about this rule, like number 500 something or whatever, where we spend 8 hours reciting like my praises or something like that. And yeah, meanwhile, while all this is happening, the teachers are kind of discussing Excalibur, and they're like, yeah, the thing with Excalibur is that he's, like, as far as we know, the most powerful weapon in existence. And he's unique because his soul can resonate with anyone, but no one can wield him because he's such a jackass.
And there's this amazing, amazing visual joke where they're talking about, like, what Excalibur can do is that he can cut through anything with a single swing, and he can also wrap you in these gigantic wings that can teleport you anywhere you want to go. And so he starts to, like, float up, turn into a sword, and he's just like, come with me, be my Meisters. And they reach up to grab the sword at the same time, and then it cuts to them just sticking the sword back in the ground and walking out of the cave.
Like, fuck this.
And as they go out, they see the fairy, and the fairy was just like, did you do it? And then they make the same face that the fairy made to them, and she was just like, it looks like they met him.
Yeah. That's mostly this episode, but there is a great sort of tag joke at the end where Black Star and Kid return to the school, and everybody's kind of looking at them and pointing and laughing and snickering and stuff like that, and they... Maka's like, oh my god, you guys, you have to come into the classroom right now. And they do, and there are these giant, like, flower wreaths around pictures of Excalibur with a banner proclaiming them by name and him saying, I will always wait for you. It's so good.
Yeah. Anyways, we're going to go into now two different episodes that are going to be completely completely tied together. So I'll go ahead and give you the names of them. It's episode 10 and episode 11, The Enchanted Sword Masamune, or Masamune, Break the Soul Possession, A Heart Sings in the Rain.
That is just the name for episode 10. It's the longest name.
And then episode 11, Tsubaki, the Camilla Blossom, What Lies Beyond the Grief. These two episodes are stuck together, and if you're looking for comedy, you're not really going to get a lot out of these episodes. Instead, you're going to get two beautifully animated episodes.
Yeah, there's a couple of funny bits, but these are mostly dramatic episodes, and they're very good.
Yes, they are some of the best episodes that I just... In my initial watching of the show, I appreciated them, but I didn't stick them in my memory. And after watching them again on a second watch, I'm like, I am so happy that I did not commit these completely to memory so that I could just experience them again.
I completely agree. I didn't remember these at all.
Yeah. So it's going to turn out that Tsubaki and Black Star are going to be going on a mission. They have gone on this this mission to catch Masamune, who is about to turn into a Kenshin. They're like, he is on the edge of turning into a Kenshin. Somebody has to go to stop him. We have sent Tsubaki and Black Star in order to do this. The way that this is told to everybody else is that there's this board that is put up of all the different missions that need to be done, and they have marked it as like something that they are going to do. Maka and Soul and Death the Kid and Stein and everybody else.
Like every main character that's not Blackstar and Tsubaki.
They're going to all be watching this from Death's office, basically through a giant mirror. With that being said, that is all you really need to know about them inside of this episode.
Yeah, they're going
to
provide little helpful commentary for you as the audience, but they're not actually going to do anything.
Yeah. So instead, we're going to focus on the actual storytelling, and we're going to start with the scene that actually happens before you find out where they have gone to. And that scene starts with Masamune coming in and walking through the city, and he is menacing as fuck. He is like this very tall man that has a large hat that has like kind of like hanging shade around the edge of it. Think kind of like a lampshade edges, like frilled.
It's pretty common, if you've watched anime, you'll see this a lot. It's like one of the conical rice hats that you'll see, but it's got like fringy kind of things hanging down, which I'm sure have some sort of name, but we don't know it.
Yeah, if you know what it is, feel free to let us know. We want to know. Also, if you've ever seen Samurai Champloo, you'll recognize the same sort of hat is what the Jean is wearing in the first episode. Jean is wearing in the first episode. Anyways, he is going to be walking around the city, cityscape, he's not really interacting with anybody yet. Then we're going to see Blackstar and Tsubaki come into this village that has all these like crazy needles that stick through the top of their buildings.
Actually named Needle Village.
Yes, it's called Needle Village. And the thing that we're going to find out pretty quickly is that Blackstar does not know who he's looking for. He does not know what this Masamune is going to look like at all. So he just starts to accuse everyone in the village of being Masamune.
It's hilarious. They're basically like, the first person he sees, he's like, you must be Masamune. And the second somebody is like, what is this guy saying? He's like, you must be him. but this belies sort of one of the emotional cores of the episode, which is essentially that Blackstar and Tsubaki trust each other. And she mentions this to Lord Death at the beginning of the episode as they're like sort of introducing the mission to us as the audience, and she's kind of accepting it, is that this mission is personal to her in some way that she has not told Blackstar. And Lord Death is like, well, don't you think you should tell him? And she's like, well, he and I have promised that we're going to trust each other with our very souls. And so I think he's going to go along with me on this mission, even if I don't tell him every aspect of it right away.
Even if she tells him not to go, he would have still gone.
Yeah.
Because Blackstar and Tsubaki are some of the tightest linked characters inside of the show. And they make for a really beautiful story that we will get into more later. As they're walking around the village and they can't find anything, they decide to go get a better vantage point. But this happens after they are completely chased out of the village first, because it turns out that Blackstar, one of the things that he has on himself is a very simple tattoo of a star on his right shoulder. This tattoo apparently comes from the Star Clan. The Star Clan were these very, very dangerous, like, assassins or mercenaries that would do anything for money, including killing lots of people. And it turns out they have probably come in and killed a lot of people inside of this village, but particularly they have killed one, kid. He's like a teenager. They have killed his father and his both of his parents, but at least his father, he mentions, and he throws a coin at Blackstar, and he's like, you'll do anything for money, so you need to leave. And they start throwing things at Blackstar. Blackstar has caught this coin that was thrown at him, and he leaves it on the ground as they run, and they get a better vantage point from this tree.
Yeah, because we know that Blackstar does not care at all about money. He cares about glory.
Yes.
And he is going to explain to Tsubaki exactly what happened, which is the family being these mercenary assassins. They were all wiped out. He was left over as a baby. And I think, what did they say? He was like delivered to DWMA as like a ward of the school or something like that. And correct. So that's why he's been raised to be a Meister and why he's a pretty good bro instead of being like a mercenary assassin like the rest of his clansmen. And he's going to reveal this to her as like a heart to heart moment. And she's like, well, there's something I haven't told you either. And she's kind of struggling to let it out. And Blackstar's like, look, you don't have to tell me until you're ready. I trust you. And it's this really sweet moment.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. Their relationship is going to grow more inside of this episode than, I mean, we've seen Sol and Maka's relationship grow, but they are really going to, it gives a really interesting spin on soulmates, basically. Like, soulmates don't necessarily have to be in love with each other.
Yeah.
It's specifically the relationship between Blackstar and Tsubaki is one of best friends.
Yeah.
The one between Sol and Maka is one that's almost, it's like a weird, like almost brother sister relationship.
Yeah.
But also like,
or almost a them couple being, without the romance.
Yeah. Like a married couple that where, you know, there's no more sex in the relationship. And then,
we all aspire to.
And then there's the relationship of, little brothers and sisters, which is exactly what the relationship between Death the Kid and the sisters is going to be. They relate to each other almost like siblings.
Yeah, but Maka and Sol are definitely the main characters, and they're going to be the focal point of the series for the most part. But each character group is going to get their day in the light, and I got to say, Blackstar and Tsubaki right now are definitely the most complex and interesting pair.
Mm-hmm. So what is going to happen next while they are having this conversation, and it's going to start raining. As it starts raining, we see Masamune coming in and finding this kid who is dealing with some rage and fear about seeing someone of the Star Clan. He is going to talk about how he is hungry and he needs to feed. And then the next thing that we're going to hear is him screaming in the night.
Yeah, we're going to learn from some character explaining this while we're seeing this happen that Masamune specifically feeds on fear that allows him to take over the body of a person. And then eventually, once he's done possessing it, he consumes their soul.
Yeah. He didn't scream. He was taken over. And one of the people that is like, friends with him, or I guess like, I don't know if he's like his grandfather or something. But he keeps on doing like this weird, like gyrating motion every time he sees
he's humping the air like, for sure. Because every time he does it, he's trying to like he does that while accompanying himself saying something about how he's still able to be like youthful and stuff like that. And it's like, yeah, he's up in the air, you know, like you do.
Anyways, so he is going to walk in on this teenager who has been possessed by Masamune. He is going to be attacked almost immediately, falls out into the street, and Blackstar and Tsubaki are going to hear this and run to start a fight with Masamune. That is going to kick off one of the great so far battles inside of the show,
which has been chock full of them. Honestly, like this show is so excellent. Like seriously, if you're not watching it, shame upon you. A plague on both your houses.
So there's this great back and forth inside of this this fight where different characters will get upper hands, and it will continue to build until it fucking turns the fight.
That's how you know it's a good battle, because that's how you do it narratively, and they do it here.
It's really fucking
there's also a really funny bit where Blackstar hits his balls and it's fucking hysterical. I usually don't like this kind of humor, but it is really fucking funny.
Yeah. So with that being said, I know we've done this before, but if you are hearing this and you want to see it, look it up. Go ahead and watch it again, especially if you've already seen it before, and then come back. We'll explain it.
There's especially a 30-second bit in episode 11 where Tsubaki and Masamune are going at each other, and it's fucking gorgeous. Like, compared to the rest of the show, which is already gorgeous as a baseline, it is noticeably better. It's awesome.
Yeah. So there's going to be a pretty quick back and forth where Black Star is going to fight with his with Tsubaki inside of the chained Blaine's abode. I think it's like kunai with chain.
That's from Yu-Gi-Oh. So, he calls it something else, but it's the same thing.
Yeah. So he's going to fight back and forth, and he is going to look like he is almost going to be able to strike Masamune, who has possessed this kid with his soul resonance.
Yeah, and because the point is that Masamune is able to force resonance, and that's how he takes over people. So if Black Star can push his soul resonance into them, then he can free the kid, and they'll sort of purge Masamune from his body.
Yeah, so he is going to get close and almost strike Masamune, and then Masamune is going to reveal that he has a secondary ability, which is that he can not only possess the person's soul and body, but also their shadow. And so he starts fighting with the person's fucking shadow, and it is dope. It is a fucking great attack sequence where he will start striking at Black Star, and then Black Star switches modes into like Ninja Blade mode, and then Black Star starts moving super fast to the point where like he can't be caught by Masamune, and then he slips on the ground and hits his balls.
It's so hilarious.
That's that joke.
It undercuts the sequence, but in a way that actually works. And then they lead into sort of the climax of this fight, which this is sort of two fights that make up one overarching conflict. And this is going to be the end of fight number one, which is Black Star is going to get stabbed a few times by the shadow. He's going to try and hit Masamune anyway. And then eventually he's going to get stabbed and by Masamune, but then Tsubaki's going to turn back into her human form and grab Masamune and resonate with him so that she can join him in his, like, mind realm. It's kind of like if you've watched Bleach, like when Ichigo is talking to the other Ichigo. It's like that. Or when he's talking to Zangetsu. It's like that. This happens in a lot of different anime where you kind of go into a fairly amorphous space to have a one-on-one battle, and that's what's happening here.
Yeah. So, as soon as Tsubaki is going to go into Masamune's sword, and they're going to be fighting on top of the soul realm, Black Star as a character is going to sort of fade away of being important here, other than the fact that he is giving her full attention. He is watching what she needs, and he is going to not lose his attention for anything. Which includes these people in the fucking town hate the Star Clan. And he has given them no explanation of why they shouldn't hate the Star Clan. And in fact, he is going to sort of, mention that, like, you know, maybe his parents deserved what they got. And they, like, you know, they have done terrible things. So, I mean, like, how can I take this out on these people, you know? They shouldn't have anything done to them more by me because they've already been wronged by my clan.
Yeah.
Whatever. He is going to sit down, and through basically the rest of this episode, he is just going to take punishment. They're just going to beat him with sticks for the rest of the episode.
Yeah.
And if you think I'm being, like, facetious about this, they legitimately are just, every shot they cut back to Black Star just has more people beating on him.
And he's, like, more and more bloodied, but the thing is, he's ignoring them. And in fact, Lord Death, while watching this, is like, it's kind of amazing that he's ignoring all of them. The only time that they break his concentration is when one of them tries to attack Tsubaki, because she is also sitting motionless and holding Masamune because she is dealing with him in their sort of mindscape. And the only time he's going to move before she's going to like fall later on, before that, he basically, the only thing that gets him to move is reacting to her. And the first part of that is somebody threatens to hit her, and he like grabs it, the club that they're swinging around, and breaks it, and is like, you can hit me all you want, but if you try to hit her, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah. So meanwhile, there is a battle between Masamune and Tsubaki that we are experiencing inside of their soul realm, which is just like this almost like still water world. And on top of it are these like weird looking. You have a moment where you're like, are those trees? And then you're like, no, they're like souls. They're like possessed shadows of former selves that are like bent and gnarled. And among all of them is Masamune, who has like these crazy eyes that are like crimson in the center and like dark gray around the edge that are super bloodshot. And he is fucking awesome. His fight sequence with Tsubaki is one of those that like, this is why I watch anime.
Yeah, absolutely. Like,
they go back and forth while at the same time we are cutting back and forth with Tsubaki's memory of when she was growing up with her brother. And it's talked about like why she is named, her namesake is Tsubaki or Camilla, which is like this flower that has no scent is what he keeps on saying. And it's like when it blooms, it makes no sense. So when it falls, no one notices.
Yeah, this
it's in the world to be beautiful, and it's nobody can notice.
Yeah, it's this motif that it's like it's beautiful, and so when it wilts away, it's tragic. But because it has no scent, it doesn't like bring anything or insist upon itself or like you know present itself in any way. It's just kind of a background flower that's pretty, and I guess because of that, like its passing has a heightened tragedy to it. And he's making this into a metaphor for her because she is also a relatively reserved kind of person who sort of lets everybody else take the lead. And so he's like, you know, you're that. This you're aptly named because you don't really assert yourself or insert yourself or anything. You just kind of let the world pass you by. And when you fall, it'll be tragic, but it's kind of what you've got coming to you.
Yeah. It's really a really great moment.
It's good use of metaphor.
I very much enjoy one of the things that they do, which is when she's like a little kid playing with Masamune, she wanted to play something else, but she takes his lead at every moment. And we're going to find out that the reason why she took she's always, you know, it's part of her personality, but the thing that drove Masamune so fucking crazy is that his family always passed down to the firstborn all of Tsubaki's abilities, and instead he only got one ability while Tsubaki got the rest of them. And so he was supposed to be this amazingly powerful weapon, but instead he had that taken away, and so he had to learn to use this one ability, and it drove him so crazy that he wanted to have more and more power, which drove him to turn into a Kenshin.
Yeah, and so they have this fight, and it basically consists of Tsubaki. It's a curb stomp battle. Like, she is being beaten at all times and at every turn pretty handily. She's getting really injured, and in fact, he mentions pretty early on, one of the first blows that he lands on her is like a devastating cut to her midsection. And he's like, you know, if we were in the real world, you'd be dead by now. So there is some aspect of willpower maintaining her life, even though she is taking an otherwise mortal beating in this fight.
Yeah. And a great way that it is shown is that she keeps on taking these blows that bloody her, and then in the next shot there's no blood. And it's one of those things where, like, if you were watching and it didn't understand it, you would be like, that's continuity error. But understanding that it's on the soul realm is just, it gives it, like, a new, like, level of, they're taking blows with each other, but really it's just a metaphor for what's happening, which is he is trying to absorb her soul. And she is trying to fight back and either block him from doing this or absorb his soul. So it's this really back and forth with them that is just represented by this and going back and forth in this memory. And then it gets to a climactic moment where she has taken a death blow and she is absorbed ostensibly into him. But it turns out that Soul is rooting for her from beyond, and she experiences this in one of her memories, where she's just like, you know, Blackstar tells her that he's like, I see you for who you are, and I trust you, and because I trust you, you can do this by yourself. And it's just like this complete trust in her is the thing that pushes her over the edge so that she can use her other abilities, like creating like the, you know, the knife or smoke bomb or all this other stuff. Because to this point, she has only used the knives with the chain that's attached. And he mentions this at one point where it's just like, you know, you're just showing me this one ability. You have all these other abilities. Why do you hold yourself back? Do you not take me seriously as your older brother? And it's this great power struggle between these two characters.
Yeah, so it's also really clever because to me, what I read out of this fight was that she was taking a beating, but she was never really losing. To me, I read this as a mental struggle that's going on behind the scenes while a physical struggle is also manifesting. And the reason why she's not dying, I think, is as much because he's trying to inflict punish on her as because she is too strong in her willpower to lose. And she is just sort of subtly, slowly inserting herself. And I think one of the reasons she gets so beaten up in the fight is because she's more focused on this ultimate victory of overcoming him and taking control of this realm than she is on this sort of like interpersonal conflict that they're experiencing. Like, she has her eyes on the prize and it makes her look like she's losing. This is great writing because it hits all of the beats. It hits all the ups and downs. It hits a lot of back and forths in the initial fight. It takes the hero to the edge of, you know, the visit to death. And then she saves it. And at the end, you realize that there was an undercurrent running through everything that you've been watching that is sort of revealed to you by the end. Yeah. And it's brilliant writing. It's so, so good.
It also does the final clash better than I have seen most anime ever do the final clash, which is, a lot of times inside of anime, you will notice that two people will power up, they'll do a ton of attacks, they'll do a ton of back and forth, and at the very end, they go in for one final slash, and that slash chooses a victor. A lot of times, you'll see it where, like, one person is standing up, and it looks like they win, and the other person is down, and it turns out they got a fatal cut, and they fall down. They kind of do that, but in the way that they do, the fucking style of the final hit on this is unfucking real. Tsubaki comes down from midair and slams into Masamune, and when it happens, all of the red around Masamune is suddenly covered in this beautiful wash of blue that comes from, like, her soul, and it takes over the realm for just, like, this beautiful moment that just slashes out. And then it cuts back to Blackstar, and you see Tsubaki get swallowed up into the sword. And fucking Blackstar runs over to it, and he's like, you can't have lost. You can't have lost. We need an encore. Your show isn't over. And then he just starts hitting the blade, and he just starts saying encore, 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 encore. It's just...
It should be like your little brother being annoying, but it's so emotional and heartfelt, and it's just this pure affection and love that he has for her, this trust and faith that he has in her. It's beautiful, and it's moving, and it's a great character moment.
Yeah. So it turns out that she has won, obviously, because the show is going to keep on going. Masamune is going to give in to her, and one of the most beautiful things she says at the very end of it is that this flower doesn't has a scent. It's just faint, and it's nice, and it's beautiful.
Yeah, he's basically I never noticed it before, and that's on me.
Yeah, he fades away and turns into a Kenshin egg, which we've seen before is eaten by the Soul Reapers.
The weapons.
Instead of seeing it, we see Tsubaki mourn over it. She holds the soul in her arms and just cries over it while just like cradling it in her arms. And there's a lot of time before she comes out, And then she's sitting in front of Black Star, and Black Star is like, "Hey, how'd everything go?" And she was like, "It went great." And Black Star looks at her and he's like, "It's okay. You can come and hug me if you need to." And she just like takes a moment where she has like this fake look on her face, and then she starts to break down and she runs and holds him and she's like, "I'm so sorry I brought you in on this." And he's like, "It's okay." And you have this beautiful moment that is broken only by the villagers being like still around them. And it's just like, what the fuck are you two doing? Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, and then basically they leave, they go back to school, everybody's happy that they came through this ordeal safely, and because of the ordeal, Tsubaki has now gained the ability to turn into a ninja sword, as well as all of the other things that she can turn into. But it seems to take
Yeah.
some sort of heavy toll on Black Star because he passes out immediately upon her doing it.
Yeah. So that's these episodes for this week.
God, so
I
good.
again,
You guys cannot sleep on
these
this show.
episodes. Yeah, this show is fucking fantastic. Go out there, finish it before we finish it in coverage, and then come live it again with us. After the credits, we are going to talk about what we are covering next week.
Blake and Spencer Get Jumped is made by Forever Summer Productions.
With sound editing done by Rashad English of Plain English Productions.
He's our level 6 sound wizard.
Level up. Our podcast is ad-free, and we want to keep it that way. If you want to keep it that way, too, please consider supporting us on Patreon.
Follow us on Twitter at BNSGetJumped.
Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/BlakeAndSpencerGetJumped.
Or talk to us on Reddit at reddit.com/r/GetJumped.
If you like the show, please like, subscribe, and leave a review. Reviews help other listeners find our show.
New episodes come out every Sunday
on iTunes,
Google Play,
Stitcher,
Buzzsprout,
or wherever you get your podcasts from.
And hey, thanks for listening.
Next week on Blake and Spencer Get Jumped, we're watching Naruto episodes 89 through 92.
With a necklace of death.
And a deal of death.
And the death of death.
Is it that last one, though?
Wait, no, I
just
don't
the
think
first
that's
two.
what that
It's just the
just
first two.
just the first two.